tell him, told him, you don't have to go. But do you think his eagerness to see was pacified? No. It was always lurking in his heart. Anyway, next day morning, Brahmanas came and confirmed it was not Krishna in the Yamuna. It was some fisherman, you know, who was in the boat, you know, and he was carrying a lantern which was looking like jewels on the hoods of the serpent and all that. So, when the disciple lacks complete faith in the spiritual master, then one may not be able to exhibit steady surrender. So, just as Balabhadra lacked faith in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the same way, Purushottam lacked faith in Prabhupada. That means a disciple should feel that I am a fool in front of the spiritual master. And one should treat spiritual master to be a very learned person who knows the scriptures and who is far more mature. That's why Krishna and Arjuna in that discussion, you know, Krishna was not ready to give any advice to Arjuna at all in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. You know, there is a word Prahasanniva Bharata, you know, in the first chapter. You know, when does it come? It comes in a verse before Karpani Dosha Bhata Svabhava. So Prahasanniva Bharata means Krishna mildly smiled when Arjuna told him, take me in between the armies. I want to see that, you know, see the power of the enemies and everything. Krishna just mildly smiled. He didn't give any advice. Why he didn't give any advice? Between friends, it's very difficult to develop that kind of faith in a friend. Because generally amongst friends, we take the friends little casually. We also feel that our friends know only as much as we know. They don't know so much. And sometimes the friend's instructions may be accepted as suggestions and not as instruction. Even if a friend gives you a good advice, how do we accept it? Generally as a suggestion. Okay, my dear friend, I will look into it, I will see. Let us see. Whereas when it comes from the Guru, Guru's suggestion also should be accepted as a instruction. So there is a lot of difference. So the faith, strong faith, helps one to make one surrender steady. So opposite of steady is wavering surrender. Wavering surrender means, like you find sometimes in Prabhupada's time also, somebody would come to temple, you know, they would become a serious devotee, and then after some time they would again become weak. Again they would show some symptoms of seriousness, again they would become weak. It's like, you know, ghana tarala, the word is used in Sanskrit. Sometimes ghana, sometimes tarala, sometimes ghana. Who is that? Rasika Murali? They don't need the mic, yeah. Our new temple, we have 4.5 acres. Plus we are taking 4 more acres, you know that? In the neighborhood, we got 4 more acres. Where we cannot construct anything, but we can use it for kutirs and all. So we can assure you that it will be noise proof. New temple. They use this lamp as big, you know. Actually, since you can go and tell them not to use this lamp. My mind gets glued to the vampire sound. The vampire is so powerful. When they play the vampire, it destroys all your material desires. It shatters them into pieces. That's why I always take the vampire and beat, you know. It's very powerful. And when it's especially rhythmic, you know, your mind gets hooked to it, you know. You cannot think of anything else. Yeah. So, not wavy surrender, yeah. Steady surrender is very much needed. So where there is faith, certainly that type of surrender is possible. So recently I was hearing one of the classes of Radha Gopinath Prabhu. I was very inspired. So he was telling about this faith, something very valuable information about faith. He was telling, you know the word Sangha? Sangha has two meanings. Anybody knows what are the two meanings of the word Sangha? One meaning everyone knows. Yeah? Association, that's one obvious meaning which we all know. Sangha also has another meaning, attachment, very correct, attachment. So, Sangha has two meanings, association and attachment. And amazingly, you will find association also leads to attachment. They both have a connection also. Whatever we associate with, we become attached to that also, Sangha. So, he was telling how important is this word association? He said, in the anukul and pratikul activities given in Upadeshamrit, you know, Rupa Goswami says two times. He says, Atyara prayasacha prajalponiyamagraha janasangascha. He says that. Similarly, the next verse, Utsaha nishya darya tatkarma pravartana sangatyagat. Both the times he says, which goes to show the importance of Sangha, importance of our association. So, when we talk of association, we have heard so many lectures, so many examples, so many pastimes. But if you understand this one underlying factor, we will be saved. What is that? We have to know the difference between a materialist and a devotee. What is the essential, vital difference between a materialist and a devotee? Who can say? For a devotee, Krishna center, okay. Anybody else want to add to this? What is the difference between a materialist and a devotee? Or a non-devotee devotee, we say, no? Yeah? Krishna center is devotee, okay? A devotee surrenders only to Krishna. Okay, instead of asking like this, I would ask you, what is the definition of a non-devotee or a... Sometimes we say karmis, we say, no? What is the definition of a karmi? Sense enjoyer. Asatsanga Tyag, he said, okay. I am asking who is the person whose association we should give up, or what is the meaning of a non-devotee? Independent of God. There may be 100 definitions, I am looking for one particular definition which is most vital for our discussion here. Yeah? Not saintly? No. That is a very refined way of defining. See, he's saying a non-devotee is one who is in bad association. You're pushing the problem a little further. That who is that bad association? Non-devotee. Who is not? Yeah, of course, he's not surrendered. But a materialist has a certain special characteristic. And then? Yes, from you. Offenders, is it? Not all materialists are offenders. Not all karmis are offenders. Sometimes karmis don't come in touch with devotees. See, we are talking about faith here, association with faith. Try to think from the point of view of faith. What is the faith of a karmi? What is the faith of a devotee?
Devotee has faith in the holy name.
Okay, devotee has faith in holy name, yeah. Anybody else can say, taking this faith as a factor, try to distinguish between a materialist and a devotee. Let's give opportunity here. Now those who haven't spoken should get opportunity. Yes, Maharaj?
They depend on their own endeavors rather than...
That is very correct. You are not wrong. That comes in 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You are right. Krishna.
Krishna.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you are very, very coming very close to answer actually. Two? Difference between? They think they are the doers. Oh, that's true, yeah. She said that also, very similar point, yeah. See, a materialist is one, yeah, you know. A materialist is one who thinks there is nothing beyond matter. He has complete faith that ultimately everything is only material. There is all the spiritual stuff in a spiritual world, Krishna, spiritual world, and all these things, you know. They are all simply mumbo jumbo. They don't exist. A materialist thinks like that. He thinks all these Puranas are mythology, you know. And all this, you know, doing vrata, tapa. Some people say, you know, they even say, okay, religious people, you are all good people because you are bringing out some kind of order in the society, you know, so that we can live happily. Ultimately, we have to live happily, that's all. There's nothing beyond, you know, matter. He's called as a materialist, karmi. And a devotee is one who, within the heart, see, we are not talking about what a devotee speaks with the mouth. We are talking in the heart, a devotee strongly believes that there are higher truths. There is spiritual world. There is certainly God who is controlling everything. And there is hell. There are punishments. And I have to be careful. I should distinguish between right and wrong. If I do wrong activity, I'll be punished. So devotee has the, all those kind of faiths which are ingrained in his heart. So you see the clear cut difference between the two, a non-devotee and a devotee. You can clearly see that. So it is said you should not associate with a non-devotee. It is not that anybody wearing pant shirt or anybody wearing skirt, you should not associate with them. It's not like that. We are talking of a materialist or a karmi who has firm faith that ultimately everything is matter only, nothing beyond. He doesn't believe that God exists, he doesn't believe that soul exists, he doesn't believe that laws of God exist, karma exists and all that. Some people are determined atheistic people, you will see like that. They will laugh it off, everything. So association of such a person is very dangerous. So why a person's loyalty becomes unsteady? By such association, one becomes unsteady in one's loyalty. Or one's surrender. One's surrender can become unsteady by association of such people. So in your office or any situation that you are all put in, if you know that somebody is a hardcore atheist, he laughs at religious people, he ridicules, then you have to keep a very safe distance. It's not that you are a devotee, you are going to transform them. Uttamadhikaris can even change Jagayamadais. In our level, we should not try. Better we keep distance from them in order to protect ourselves. One boy was telling me that his one of his boys in his hostel gave him a pornography book. So as soon as his boy saw the cover, immediately he felt, he just threw it, He's a devotee coming to our base regularly. So that boy challenged him. He said, "You see, why are you so afraid? See, we people are heroes. We have no fear. We see internet, all kinds of bad things. We read these books. We see blue films and all. You guys are so fearful. What is the use of your studying Bhagavad Gita and all if you don't have the courage?" And that boy challenged him. "If you really have the courage, you read this book." And then he told him that, you prove that you are not affected by it, influenced by it. See, how is this topic relevant to today's topic we are talking? Is it loyalty to our guru if we indulge in such activity, like reading such a book or watching such a blue film, just to prove to our friend that, I will never be affected by all this because I am Krishna conscious devotee? So it has got a lot to do with loyalty. If any of you is put in such a challenge situation, what would you do? Imagine that you are put in a situation like that by one of your friends. What would you do? What will you tell your friend? We will take one answer from Prabhuji's, one from Mataji's will take. Is the one ready? Yes? Yeah, you'll tell him that sloka?
I'll tell.
Yeah.
I know that is the fact.
Yeah.
It is like voluntarily going and drinking poison.
Yeah.
So I'll immediately refuse.
So you'll refuse. So if he calls you a coward and all, you will not fear, isn't it? You do whatever you want. Very powerful point it is. He, Anand Chidu, was saying, it takes more courage to say no to sense gratification than to say that I'll anyway face it courageously by, indulging in it. That's very true, yeah. You can tell your friend, see, you are reading it and everyone else is reading it and you are so mad for it, and this is not the only one you are reading, you are reading many more. But I am able to say no to it. No, that is real courage. I can say that. Yeah. Maji, anybody else has any other answer? So, the story of the two elephants, One husband and wife elephant, they were coming. After taking bath, very clean body, nice tilaks they were putting in their body and everything, they were coming. So, from a gutter, one pig and pig's wife, they came out with their dirty bodies, all covered with mud and gutter water and everything, So, the husband pig, he wanted to show his might, strength. He told his wife, "See, I am so small, the elephant is so big. Just see how I am going to attack him." Not knowing his own strength, he just came in the middle of the street and he showed his hand, "And I am going to hit you now." So the husband elephant, what he said? He said, "Sorry, sir, I am not ready for a fight." He said, "I admit that you are very great." Something like what Rupan Sanatan did with that Rupa Narayan, Isn't it? They gave a Vijayi Patra, Similarly, elephant said, "Sorry, sir, I don't want to come for a fight with you." and he went by the side, you know, and they walked. So the wife elephant became very annoyed. She said, "Are you not ashamed? Look at your body. How powerful you are. With one leg of yours, you can just pound on the head of this pig, you know, and he will be rolled into a football and you can throw him into the gutter. And you are shamelessly telling that, you know, you don't want to fight. What will happen to my prestige?" She was asking. So the husband elephant smiled and said, "My dear wife, did you know why I said like this? Because we are temple elephants. We are wearing tilak, you know, and our bodies have taken bath. Why to dirty our body, you know, with this dirty pig, you know, whose body is full of stool and urine and all dirty things?" He said. So this is the consciousness that we should have when materialistic people are trying to, you know, overpower us with their dirty stool and urine and everything, like the pig coming out of the gutter. So we have to know that we are following a very pure path and we want to lead a pure life. In order to do that, we want to avoid bad company. And we have to be convinced, as Sundar Krishna Prabhu was telling, he was telling that point, very nice point, that I would never indulge in it. I would say that, "Sorry, I'm not interested in all this. You say whatever you want. Keep a distance. Let him ridicule you, let him say whatever he wants." So this is a very important point, because in our loyalty to Guru, we have taken many vows at the time of initiation. And even before initiation, we are approaching initiation. So naturally, if any of you are not initiated, we are at least approaching initiation. So we have to be loyal to Guru by following the principles that we have promised him. And we should not fall prey to such things like the one we are discussing now. That is very careful. So if you are careless, then we will lose the mercy. We lose the mercy of Guru if we are careless. Especially when we fail in our promise to Guru and not repent for it, then we lose the mercy. We have promised Guru that I'll do this and that, and then we fail, and then still you don't feel, what do you call it, a kind of feeling of sorry, feeling of repentance, feeling of having done something terribly wrong. So, like Ajamila, if you read towards the end of Ajamila section, the repentance of Ajamila is really high class repentance. He's saying, "What a sinful rascal I was," and he's actually chastising himself. So a devotee should not commit mistake, and if a devotee commits mistake, a devotee should repent. Then one can be absolved of one's sin and one should promise not to commit it again. So when we talk of loyalty, this brings us to the next point. We talked about steady surrender. You can write number two. Number two is keeping strict vows that one has promised. That is also loyalty, correct? So that point is evolved from our discussion. Keeping strict vows promised to one's guru. And these two are two related things. If we keep our vows very strict, then our surrender also will be steady for a period of time. Sthairyam, Atma Vinigraha. Which is that verse? Amanitvam, Anambitvam, Ahimsaksha. In that series he is saying, sthairyam means steadiness. So the steadiness also is spoken by Krishna elsewhere. Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhir, Ekeha Kurunandana. That is also sthairyam. That means, in a pinpointed way, in a focused, in English we call it as focused. Somebody is focused in Krishna consciousness. That means, you know, their intelligence does not waver. It doesn't go here, there, looking for other things. They are focused in their Krishna consciousness. So seeing from a grihastha point of view, grihasthas, I would like some examples to hear from all of you. Lack of steadiness while practicing Krishna consciousness grihastha ashram, and what are the causes for that? So I want both the things. You can talk about what do you consider as lack of steadiness and what are the causes for it, for them. Yeah. Some examples you all can think of. Actually, there are many examples we give in Brahmachari ashram. But in the same way, we have to think from your practical point of view. Yeah, one more mic, is it? Can speak little louder.
We are in a company atmosphere, there is a friendly atmosphere. No much respects and that happened. And most of the hours we spend in the company, and when we come to the home, we may mostly tend to neglect that devotional aspect only, even though we are hearing or listening. And relation between the husband and wife, we tend to, we don't respect each other. That because in that also friendship goes, friendship criteria goes, and that over a period of time that doesn't give much respect to one another.
Yeah, what Prabhuji is saying is that because we are absorbed in material atmosphere of the company all day, no matter how careful you are, sometimes you find that the atmosphere is overpowering. Atmosphere is extremely overpowering. Generally, you know, the atmosphere has a great influence on every individual. Like you come to temple, like, you know, Maharaj was doing kirtan today. So much kirtan. It's just like, you know, you get become like a sponge absorbed in water, you know. You become like that. So here there is a spiritual influence. Similarly, when you go in the company or any other place, there's a material influence. And the material influence makes us take life quite lightly. And husband and wife, we are supposed to see one another as Krishna Das and Krishna Dasi. One is supposed to respect one another as a devotee first. And one should also remember one's relationship with the spiritual master. She is a disciple of my spiritual master. I am a disciple of my spiritual master. And spiritual master has given us instructions for both of us to progress in our Krishna consciousness. So those things sometimes assume a back seat. And in the front seat, all materialistic vibrations dominate. And one may become materialistic in dealings. That's very correct, yeah. One can become materialistic, yeah, that's true. Yeah. One may lose mutual respect for one another, that's true, yeah. Anything else, any other example? So you gave the cause also, both you gave, right? You gave, both you gave, yeah. Yeah. Anybody else, any other example? Like one example comes to my mind. See, my mind, I am inexperienced or weak with respect to understanding the grihastha situations perfectly. But I am, my explanation would be based on what I have seen in my sister's lives. I have three sisters, I have seen them. And I have seen what married life is by observing them and what they talk to me and everything. So one of the things, you can correct me if I am wrong. My question was, I asked you, what causes unsteadiness in our devotional service in grihastha ashram? So one of the things I hear is that you have devotee friends in the temple and you have material friends outside. Now you have both friends. Sometimes the demands made by material friends and out of love are very difficult to deny. Sometimes. And you know, and you can't, completely strip off your friendship with material friends. You know, because you have both sides. You know, you have devotee friends and your material friends. Sometimes your neighbors, for example, they are karmis. Sometimes your uncle, your aunt, they love you so much, but they are karmis. They are not devotees. Sometimes they force you to eat something which you may not want to eat. Sometimes they may force you to drink coffee or tea, which you may not want to drink. Sometimes you go to their home, they are watching a movie and their mouth is full of appreciation for that serial or movie, and they want you to sit and watch with them. Yeah. So you are forced actually. If you say that, okay, it's all right and I am not interested in all this, it's like then they feel broken hearted. Similarly, when you go to office, your colleagues want to share their food with you, you have to say no to them. So, these are some situations where we sometimes are put in a very vulnerable situation in following the vows that we have given to spiritual master. Eating something that is not prasad, or watching something that is prohibited. There is a white zone, there is a black zone, and there is a grey zone in between. So we may go to the grey zone, but sometimes from grey zone, if you go to black zone, you are in danger. But the problem is, if you go to grey zone, which is semi-white, semi-black, you all know what is grey zone, right? You must have heard in your council meetings and all. See, grey zone is the only saving grace for devotees who have to live with karmis. Grey zone is a... Like for example, I tell my boys, like when you go home, your parents want to go for some outing, They tell you have a choice where you want to go, but we want to go out with you somewhere. So if you have a beach, I will tell them, okay, go to the beach with the parents, That is better than going to a movie, you know. Isn't it? It is not as harmful as going to some materialistic movie which charges your mind with bad vibration, you know, like that. So, there may be many things that my boys may be doing when they go home, which are strictly not in the sense of Krishna consciousness. It's like they watch cricket, for example. In those days, they used to like cricket. Now they don't like cricket. Still, they watch it. Why? Just to satisfy their parents for some time. So, they may be doing it for an hour or so with them, and they slowly slip out afterwards. So, is watching cricket sinful? No, it is not sinful. But it's a waste of time for a devotee. It's a waste of human form of life. So, sometimes when you go to the grey zone, there is a possibility of slipping down to black zone. Yeah. Sometimes this question arises in our mind. To what extent can we extend ourselves to those materialistic people just for the sake of maintaining relationship and friendship with them? You know, how much can we extend? Because, you know, we cannot do that at the cost of losing our loyalty to our guru. Isn't it? Does that point make sense to you? If it makes sense, then one of you give an example for what I am speaking here. You understand what I am saying? Should I repeat again? The point I was trying to say was, there are two things. One is, you want to extend yourself in order to be called as a good person. Like our Prabhuji's may be want to be called as gentlemen. And Mataji may want to be also in the good books of your relatives and friends and your colleagues in the office or neighbors and everything. So you want to be a good person in front of them. You don't want them to be call you as Hare Krishna fanatics. So you don't want to be a fanatic. That is one side of it. Another side of it, you want to be loyal to the vows you have given to Guru. So has any of you got a practical experience where you found yourself put in a situation of tug of war, where these two are pulling you in two sides? Can any of you give an example? Which it should be an understandable example for everyone. Is this point clear? Yes. Hearing something that may not be totally Krishna conscious or not at all Krishna conscious, but you have to do it as a matter of duty because they are elders. Yes, that's a very good example. So these are very common place examples for us. So you can only tolerate them as long as your Krishna consciousness is preserved. As soon as you find that you are becoming very diluted, then what you should do? You have to put a break. Even at the cost of losing your good name, you have to put a break there and preserve your Krishna consciousness. So loyalty means that. Loyalty means, you know, say like for example, you should not do prajalpa, we say, correct? Loyalty to Guru means not doing prajalpa. But can you avoid prajalpa completely? Can any of us say that, you know, anybody does prajalpa, immediately I tell them, you are doing prajalpa. Can you say that? It's very difficult. So we have to hear, but not at the cost of losing our Krishna consciousness. I'll tell you practical example from Shastra. Gadadhar Pandit was very mild. So Vallabha Bhatt came to him and said, do you know this Sridhara Swami has written commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam? But that is not covering all the aspects. I have written a commentary better than Sridhara Swami, he said. Now, Sridhara Swami is considered the top-notch authority in Srimad Bhagavatam commentary. And when Gadadhar Pandit heard it, he became very afraid. What is he saying? And then he said, you know, I will read out my commentary to you, please hear it. Did any of you face a situation that somebody wants to talk about something very enthusiastically to you with their closed eyes and great enthu, and you have no time for them? Yeah, how many of you have that experience? Almost most of us, isn't it? Somebody is so enthusiastic, but we consider that utterly useless, isn't it? Yeah. So now Gadadhar Pandit was put in a similar situation. Hey, this fellow is troubling me. At the same time, he was very soft-hearted. He could not say, you know, sorry sir, I'm not interested in hearing you. So he was hearing also. At the same time, he was looking at other Vaishnavas. He was torn between the two. On one side, he was pulled by Vallabha Bhatt. After Vallabha Bhatt goes away, other Vaishnavas will come to him and taunt him. Hey, Gadadhar Pandit, you are hearing this commentary. We will go and report to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about this. So he was feeling also very bad. Huh? So what should I do? You know, he was like pulled between the two. You know? So of course at last situation changed in such a way that he directly approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So keeping strict vows, we said. That means not compromising on our vows that we made for Special Master just for the sake of maintaining good relationship with friends, colleagues and all these people. In one sense, you don't need so much association of materialistic people if you are a serious devotee. Only if you are not very serious, then you will feel a strong need for having continued relationships with your relatives, friends and colleagues. If you are very strict about Krishna consciousness, you will be able to keep distance from such people and increase your friendship with devotees. Don't feel bad about what I am saying. This is a fact. What will happen to you is this. If you become very strict in following your guru's vows, then you will see that anything that comes as an impediment in my following my guru's instructions, I would like to avoid that. You will be convinced about it. Problem is, because we are not very strict, we also feel the need of both. Of course, even a very strict devotee can be very intelligent in maintaining good relation. Like, you know, Srila Prabhupada, for example, was a pure devotee, Mahabhagavata devotee. But how he maintained relationship with, you know, his disciples' parents? Is Prabhupada, you know, was it necessary for Prabhupada to deal with anybody, any parents of the disciples? He would have just told the disciples, if you want, you deal with them. Like when Giriraj Swami's father came, Prabhupada dealt with him very nicely. Prabhupada was talking very practical things to him. Very, very intelligently. In fact, he pleased them. So he told Giriraj Swami, bow down to your parents. Giriraj Swami bowed down. And Giriraj Swami's mother was worried that, you know, what is he eating and everything. So Prabhupada told them to bring rasagullas and he fed him in front of them. Yeah. He was talking. So Giriraj Swami's father told Giriraj Swami, your guru is a very intelligent man. And Prabhupada said, no, I am not intelligent. You are intelligent, Prabhupada said. Because you got a son like Giriraj Swami, you are intelligent, he said. And then Giriraj Swami's father said, no, Swamiji, I know very well. You are very intelligent. Then you know what Prabhupada said? If I am not intelligent, how can I get intelligent disciples like your son? So Prabhupada admitted, yes, I am intelligent. But then I got intelligent disciples like your son. And then while going, his mother, father, they were all in great smiles, you know. And his father said, your guru really knows the heart of people. He knows how to satisfy everyone. He said, yeah. And then after Giriraj Swami's father went away, Giriraj Swami asked Prabhupada, you know, how is it that everyone loves you? Even somebody like my father, who's a hardcore materialist, loves you. And Prabhupada smiled and said, because I love everyone. He said, huh? So, you can see that it is not that a devotee does not deal with materialistic people. A devotee has the Krishna supplied intelligence. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. He knows how to deal very intelligently without getting trapped by materialistic association. A devotee knows how to deal with different people. But Prabhupada always warned his disciples who are immature not to unnecessarily associate closely with materialists. So this is one aspect of loyalty also. Keeping strict vows and not compromising. Yeah. So here one example of Prabhupada comes. How? This I read in Prabhupada appreciation. These two things. For loyalty, what he says there. And write down. Strictly adhering to the etiquettes and behavior. Sorry, not etiquettes and behavior, it's actually strictly adhering to the lifestyle of a Vaishnava. You can write. Strictly adhering to the lifestyle of a Vaishnava. And one more point he has mentioned there, fourth point. Carrying out the orders of Guru. That is also considered loyalty. He says there, in that connection, that Prabhupada wore the attire, Prabhupada wore the sannyasi dhoti, he shaved his head, he kept the tilaka of a gentlemanly Vaishnava. All these things, even when he went to the West. When Prabhupada went to West, many of his, you know, God brothers and other friends, well-wishers, they told him that you have to eat meat if you go to America. And you have to wear pant shirt and everything. And you have to keep hair You can't keep a shikha and all like this. And if you wear this dhoti kurta, nobody will even look at you. But Prabhupada heard all these things, but still he strictly adhered to his guru's instructions. You can see that he wore the attire of a Vaishnava. He wore tilak, he wore the dress of Vaishnava. And then he went and preached that. You see that? Without any compromise. So, uncompromisingly following the Vaishnava standard of lifestyle. That is also a sign of loyalty. When you hear this, one question may come in your mind. Anybody gets a question when you hear this? No, actually for grihasthas, it is certainly allowed. Even for our boys, we tell them when they go to the uncle's house, they can eat food, they can chant Hare Krishna 3 times and they can take the food. If it is without onion, garlic. Sometimes the onion is there, we tell them to remove it and take it. What can be done, you know? Yeah, it cannot be totally avoided. Especially, you know, we are in a society. You know, you have to socialize with people, you can't totally avoid it. But you can minimize it as much as possible. Yeah, we should not think it is perfectly all right and we can go on with that. As far as possible, we should try to reduce it. For example, if you have some karmic friends with whom you regularly have to relate with them, eventually try to make them a devotee. At least, you know, teach them to offer bhoga, you know, how to offer bhoga or something. Or tell them that, you know, you cook bhoga and I will come and offer it for you. You know, something like that you should do. Delhi. What happened was, Prabhupada went to a house in Delhi, a very rich lady's house, and she had given big donation to ISKCON. Prabhupada and disciples went there. When they began eating, there was onion in the sambar kind of thing. So disciples were shouted, Prabhupada, there is onion! You know, they shouted. And Prabhupada said, keep quiet. Made them say, he said, did you tell her before she cooked that you should not put onion garlic? And devotee said, Prabhupada, we are Vaishnavas, she should know that, you know. We are coming to her house to take prasad. Prabhupada said, no, you can't say that. You have to specify. If you didn't specify, if you shout now, you know, then she will feel very bad. She is a big donor. If you say we won't eat in your house, but you just remove the onion and eat. So this is the example of time, place, circumstance. How to act upon time, place, circumstance. Especially Prabhupada spoke like that because they hadn't, it was far from the devotee's part. And if Prabhupada refused to eat, it must have led to a problem. At the same time, we also have to talk of examples where Prabhupada was very conservative also. Here in Pune, Prabhupada came to the house of Malhotra, you know, here. And Malhotra took him to Mahabaleshwar, you know, to show a spot. Even today that land is there in ISKCON's name. It's already given. You know, there is 15-20 lakhs reserved in the bank to make some construction there, you know. So he gave it to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came back and said, Mahabaleshwar is too far. He wants something in Pune, Prabhupada said. Then they were looking for a land in Pune. So that time they stayed 3 days in, you know, our Malhotraji's house. So Prabhupada and many disciples stayed with Prabhupada that time. Maybe 5-6 disciples stayed with him. So early morning Prabhupada got up at 4 o'clock. He took bath and 4:30 he came. And he saw not a single disciple was up. Everyone was snoring and sleeping and everything. Prabhupada was very upset. And he called for his personal servant. And he was there. What's happening to devotees? And he said, Prabhupada, devotees are sleeping. Prabhupada said, I know that very well, I am hearing the snoring. But why are they sleeping, I am asking you. And said, Prabhupada, in the night they had a heavy dinner. Devotees are all very tired and Pune is very cold. So Prabhupada was very angry. Prabhupada said, you see, they have eaten from the hands of somebody who is not proper. They have eaten in the house. Prabhupada said, immediately we have to leave now. Prabhupada said, pack up all the luggage. And that devotee was saying, Prabhupada, we have fixed up 3 days to stay here. If you leave today, it will lead to a bad name. Prabhupada said, no, tell them that Swamiji's health is not good. You have to leave immediately. Immediately they packed up. And when devotees are leaving, on the way, Prabhupada chastised them like anything. He said, you know, a devotee should extend himself, undoubtedly, but not at the cost of his spiritual life. You know, waking up in the morning, doing Mangalarti, chanting. Prabhupada said, just see, of course we are going to the house to eat, but not that you eat like Vishaya Ranakaila Malina Hayaman, it is said, no? So, mind becomes polluted, then one can't eat, yeah. Prabhupada was also conservative. We can see both extremes of Prabhupada. So, when we talk of following the behavior of Vaishnava lifestyle completely, these questions may come that sometimes you have to compromise. Like for example, in America, they would wear karmi dress, devotees, you know. Like a devotee wears strip top, coat, suit, tie, shoe and everything, carries a suitcase, you know. And then if he has a shikha also, he will just keep a cap, you know. Then he goes and opens, somebody thinks he's working in some company, you know. He looks like that. And then they open the suitcase and they show Prabhupada books, you know, they distribute Prabhupada books. They do like that, you know. So, in India we don't, Prabhupada never allowed that in India. Once Mysore and Gaurang Prabhu asked Radhanath Swami, he personally went to him and asked, Maharaj, there is so much difficulty in college preaching. Can we go with pant shirt? Maharaj said, no. Maharaj said, Prabhupada never allowed in India. He said. So if pant shirt is allowed in college, we can do miracles. All brahmacharis can wear pant shirt and go inside the colleges. But Prabhupada said, in India we don't need to. India devotee should be like sadhus only. So Maharaj said, if it is absolutely essential, there is no way we can preach. Then Maharaj said, then we can go for the standard. Maybe after a century, I think. after 5 decades or after 100 years. Even in India, because India will be like West after some time. No? We have to follow what devotees do in the West. Yeah.
And we see that when Prabhupada went to Russia, first time for preaching, Prabhupada never, he always had his sannyasi attire, right? But we heard about the preaching of Narasimha Maharaj, you know.
He was wearing.
He goes in boots and pant and shirt.
Yeah.
Is that according to time, place and circumstance?
That is the point I am discussing, exactly. He is saying, Prabhupada always went in saffron robes, we are saying here. No? But Narasimha Maharaj had to wear pant shirt and shoes and all when he was going in Russia. Even now, all of us sannyasis and all, they have to change their clothes in pant shirt when they are flying and all. And then when they get down, they go there again, they change back to saffron. In many countries, Gulf countries especially. Yeah, it's very strict. If you are very strictly saying that I will wear only sannyasi robes and they will say you cannot preach, then you lose a preaching opportunity. So when you know that, you know, you lose a preaching opportunity, then you can do little compromise. That's why these are very delicate things. In loyalty, you know, when which is disloyal or which is loyal, we have to know. And we have to follow the authorities. And Prabhupada allowed wearing pant shirt for his disciples. He didn't tell them that all of you Americans, you know, you should wear saffron robes and go in the street and distribute books. Prabhupada didn't insist on that. Although he himself was wearing saffron robes, for American disciples, Prabhupada didn't insist. Prabhupada knew that if my disciples go in saffron robes in America, people will never buy the books and nothing will move. So he could compromise.
How should I come to know that?
How can I come to know? When we don't know, we should ask. Yeah. When we don't know, where we should compromise. That is why there are superiors. There are spiritual masters to help us. We should always ask. The purpose of our talking this is, we have to know the thin line that divides loyalty and disloyalty. We have to know which is loyal, which is disloyal. So, that is with respect to adhering to Vaishnava lifestyle and all that, following and all. And then the fourth one I was telling you is carrying out orders of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada was carrying out the order of the spiritual master even at a great personal inconvenience. For example, carrying out the order of Guru includes things like exclusively worshipping Krishna as the Supreme. Especially this is relevant to Grihasthas, because in Grihasthashram sometimes, even after several years of staying in Krishna consciousness, even after being initiated, sometimes one continues to worship some Kula Devata or somebody like some demigod, you know. Like in Maharashtra, for example, Guru Datta is very famous. People have this Dattatreya. They have been worshipping in family. They continue to worship. Or people have been worshipping Ganesh, you know. If you want to worship Ganesh, you should keep Ganesh at the feet of Krishna. And you should worship like that. When I went to South India, I saw a beautiful sight. You know, what was the temple? Sri Vaishnava temple. Where? In Srirangam, correct. Srirangam, we went to another temple, you all remember? in South India Yatra, we went to another temple in Srirangam. That was the last last part of the Yatra. Anybody remember what was the temple? One place we went. In Srirangam. In Srirangam, the last temple. The Sri Vaishnava temple. Yeah, after Rameshwaram, I think. It was the last temple where one Vaishnava spoke about this thing also. The Gopuram was like covered with this kind of this thing. You know, work was going on in the temple. That was the concluding session of the whole Yatra. Correct. No, not Shivakanchi. That was not the last program. That was only. No, Maharaj was telling this is the last part of the program. He told Narthik Mataji to speak. You know, different devotees. Maharaj said, if I get any time, I will speak. Adagar Malai. Adagar Malai, yeah, correct. Correct, that was Madurai, yeah, Madurai. Opposite that Adagar Koil temple, I came out of the Adagar Koil temple. Opposite there is another temple I saw. It was a temple of Ganesh. But most amazing thing for me was in the Gopuram, if you see, in the center of the Gopuram, they have made a big circle where Lord Narsingadev is sitting. And on this side, Ganesh is doing chamar for him. You know. Have you ever seen this? I wanted to click a photo, you know. Such an amazing sight. Because we have only heard from ISKCON that, you know, Ganesh is a devotee of Narsingadev. But you should also hear from others, isn't it? Ganesh is doing seva for Narsingadev. You know, he is doing chamar. So I wanted that to click sometimes. If somebody goes to Madurai, we can click that. So we should worship demigods in relation to the Supreme Lord. That's very important. That is also loyalty. If any of us continue to maintain faith in demigods, that, you know, Krishna is good for some purposes, namely, you know, ultimately going back to Godhead. For that, Krishna will keep. And for other things, what I will do? You know, secretly I will worship some demigods. I am feeling some ill health, I will worship Surya. Or I want, you know, I want good education, I will worship Saraswati. And different, worshiping different demigods. Independent of Krishna. And that is also disloyalty. Like, you know, when I was in South India, there are many stotras that people recite. In South India, it's very famous. Like, you know, whenever anybody feels inferiority complex, you know, they have to chant one stotra for 2,000 times. Do you know what is stotra for overcoming inferiority complex? Klaibhyam masmagama partha naitad bhai papadati kshudram hridaya daurbalyam takto tishta parantapa. 2,000 times you would recite, you know, to overcome inferiority, you know. Or if you are feeling some, for everything, dushvapna nashanam, you know, there is a mantra, shloka for that. So they would worship different demigods like this. You worship, you know, snake gods and goddesses. Now you worship different devatas like that. Even all of us might have been doing that, but once we are taking shelter of a guru, then we should know that all these devatas are all subordinate to Krishna. Krishna. With that understanding, we should worship them. If at all we want to worship them. Here there is a Ganesh, you saw? Here, along with Balaji. Side of Balaji, we have a Ganesh also. So devotees are asking, Prabhuji, our devotees are worshipping Ganesh. They came and complained to me. But I told them, first you offer to Narayan first, and then the same prasadam you can offer to Ganesh. In Karnataka, what happened when Madhavacharya was there? He saw that, you know, even many Vaishnavas, everywhere many people had become polluted. They were worshipping demigods like anything. So you know what Madhavacharya did? He went to all the temples and he kept Shaligram Shila. And he taught the pujaris. First you offer the bhoga to whom? Shaligram Shila. Then that you should offer to demigod. And he told them the understanding. Even today the same thing is followed. You can go anywhere. All over Karnataka you will find. This was established by whom? Madhavacharya did that. So we also should do that. We should not directly offer bhoga to demigods. Nor should we develop separate faith in them. Then your faith in Krishna becomes divided. Krishna is a jealous lover. Rupa Goswami says, jealous lover. Jealous lover means he wants exclusive love. Exclusive love. He doesn't want your love to be divided amongst different people. Of course, when we love Krishna, we love everyone, but with the understanding that Krishna is supreme. Ultimately, he is the friend of everyone, with their understanding. So that you have written also. Carrying out, you can write the fifth one. What was the point I was saying? You have written that. Worshipping Lord Krishna exclusively. Yeah, that's the correct point. Yeah. Yeah. So something else is said here about there is a development of this subject, loyalty. Loyalty, see, we say about the dog as the most loyal being, correct? You all know about the dog. Dog is very famous for its loyalty to the master. The dog will sometimes even lay down the life to serve the master. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls himself a dog in one of the songs. What is that song? Sarvasa Tomar, Charane Sampiya, and that song. He says, my dear Lord, I am just like a dog guarding your temple, sitting outside. When the bell rings, I immediately stand up and I rush inside to take darshan. And then whatever devotees eat prasadam and they leave some remnants, that becomes food for me. And I sit outside and I guard your temple. If not devotees come, I bark. So in this way he says, he considers himself a dog. So a dog is very famous for its loyalty. Similarly, a disciple also should be very loyal to Guru. In this connection, it's very important for all of us to remember our connection to spiritual master and to all the acharyas in the sampradaya. One of the things that happens to us in our lives, when you get initiated, can any of you tell me what was your experience on the day of initiation? What kind of feeling you got when you took diksha? Whatever experience is there, yeah? Oh, you spoke a lot, somebody else should speak who hasn't spoken. Somebody who hasn't spoken at all till now, I would like to hear from them. Anybody? Yeah. You would like to say? Afterwards you can go. Yeah. Yes, anybody would like to say? When you got initiated, what was the feeling in your heart on the day of initiation? Or is it too confidential, you don't want to reveal? Yes, Mataji, please. You feel completely surrendered, isn't it? We would consider that I am like a sold out slave now. He's my father, and you know, the scriptures are my mother, you know, Vaishnavas are my only relatives. You feel like a strong sense of surrender, yeah. Yes, anybody else other than this? Anything else you felt when you got initiated? And over a period of time, do we not find that gradually that fire goes off? On the day of initiation, we feel that fire. But eventually what we feel over a period of time? That feeling of surrender, or feeling of that, you know, softness of heart, or, you know, that kind of innocence and the kind of, you know, commitment to Guru, you know. That kind of strong feeling doesn't remain for a long time. But it comes, it returns again. Do you know when does it return? Anybody can say? When does the feeling return, yeah? Exactly. When others take initiation, the same feeling comes again, because we put ourselves in their shoes. Yeah. You get the same feeling. When others are taking initiation, that's why the initiation is very important. Every year if it is happening twice, it's a good thing. We can again, it's like, you know, reconfirming our vows, the day of initiation. Yeah. Yeah. So Bhakti Tirtha Swami was in Bombay. I personally got associated with him 10 days. Some years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, not 4 years ago, it was in 90s, once when he had come. So he asked us one nice question. He was telling us, do you want to know how to be successful in your Vaishnava life? How you always want to be fired up, you know. Yes, we all said, yes, we all want to be fired up. He said, if you want to be fired up, every moment you should think that your Guru is with you. He said, and anything you do, you should ask this question: will this please my spiritual master? Like, for example, in my management, sometimes some devotees give me so much trouble, you know. I feel so angry towards them. Sometimes I feel like, you know, yelling at them. So as soon as I am about to yell, immediately I think of my spiritual master. Now imagine that he is watching me yelling. Will you like it? Will you like to see me yelling or shouting at devotees? Because he always... immediately one, that picture came to my mind in front of me. Once Maharaj was speaking, Ranath Swami Maharaj was saying, the Vaishnava's tolerance knows no limits, he said. Finished. I was defeated when I heard that sentence. The Vaishnava's tolerance knows no limits, he said. So whenever I am unable to tolerate some situation, I immediately think of Maharaj saying this sentence, Radha Shyam, the Vaishnava's tolerance knows no limits. As if he is instructing me, you know. So he was telling us to do this exercise, Bhaktir Swami. He said, keep your, you know, image of Yaspucha Master in front of you, and you should think of those instructions which are applicable at that moment. Think of them, and also think, he said, that will this please my Guru if I do like this. So thinking of these things will help us to develop Vaishnava qualities. Then only we can develop Vaishnava qualities. You see, material world is a very deadly place. We are put into so many intolerant situations. Same thing is applicable to loyalty also. I am now thinking of doing this. Will my Guru be pleased if I do this? Is it loyal? Is it proper? Am I doing proper? Like for example, one day you find it's 11 o'clock at night, there are 4 rounds remaining. And you know, actually it happened to one devotee. There was one devotee, Prabhupada disciple. So he had one round left, you know. It was 11 o'clock and he was so tired, you know. He was trying to chant, was feeling tired. But then he thought, this one round I'll complete tomorrow. And then he went to bed. And then the dream Prabhupada came. Wake up, he said. Get up. And immediately he stood up and sat in the bed and with folded palms. Yes, Prabhupada, tell me, take your bed back. And he took the bed back. Have you completed the round? Everything is happening in sleep. Any of you have the habit of walking in sleep? So it was something similar to that. His eyes were closed, he got up, he sat. With the eyes closed, he took the bead bag also, and Prabhupada said, look at your, you know, beads. One round is left. And he barely could open his eyes. He opened his eyes, it was one round. And then Prabhupada told him, complete that round and go to sleep. And he saw there was no Prabhupada when he opened his eyes. But then he became fearful, if I don't complete, Prabhupada will be angry on me. So then he washed his eyes and went out and practically jogged and completed the round. So, in our life also it happens. Like one devotee who was ready to be initiated, you know, he was postponing his initiation. He said, no, I don't want to take. Several years he was postponing. Later on, I confidently asked him, why you want to postpone your initiation? You're qualified in all respects. We are ready to pass you. I would like to know what makes you stop. Have you got any doubt in Guru? Have you got any? No, Prabhuji, what are you saying? I have 101% faith in Guru. You know, I have no problem. Then he asked me, what's the problem? He was very hesitating to say. And after I very much pushed him, then he said, Prabhuji, my problem is in a month, at least 5 to 10 days, you know, I chant my rounds on the next day, some of the rounds. Every day some 4 to 6 rounds remain. And I complete it on the subsequent day. He said, I don't want this to happen. I want to completely stop it. After which I want to take initiation, he said. So I am telling this example to all of you because even after initiation this can happen to you. You may see that often we say in our counselor meetings that if you have got some round left today, what you should do? You complete it tomorrow. But that is not a license for keeping rounds for tomorrow. We have to know that. We have to be very strict. So if you, like for example, I see that many times I fail to do Gayatri, especially those who are Brahmanas. So that means we are not very strictly adhering to the orders of the spiritual master. We are not carrying out the orders. How many of you Brahmanas here? Brahmana Diksha have you taken? One, and then Krishnakshar Prabhu, Sangapant Prabhu, who else? Yeah. So all of you have taken Brahmana Diksha. It's a great challenge for us. It is sometimes good to maintain a kind of sadhana card kind of thing, you know. Where like one of our devotees writes what time he will do his Gayatri. And he has put his, you know, alarm in the mobile also, you know. It exactly means in Gayatri time, clunk, it gives sound, then he does Gayatri, you know. You know. Otherwise it will get missed out, you know. You will see that so many times you miss. Now you may say, Prabhuji, you know, if you miss Gayatri or, you know, if you keep some rounds for tomorrow, is it after all such a big blunder? Is it such a big mistake? It may not be. You know, it can be tolerated if you are absolutely busy, you know. But what happens is like 1 degree deviation of a plane, you know. The plane is 1 degree deviation. In the long run, what happens? The distance would be thousands of miles distance. You will see that. So, a slackness in following the orders of Guru is also a sign of disloyalty to Guru. So, So we should not be slack. Of course, somebody may be slack, but sincere. The slackness may be arising from lethargy or past conditioning, material conditioning. Somebody is a little lethargic to follow. They may love the Guru very much and all that. So what should such a person do? They should work on lethargy. One should give up the lethargy. And one should... like for example, if I find that my chanting is remaining for the next day, my Gayatri is remaining, and I'm not reading Prabhupada books regularly, and I'm finding that I'm becoming weaker and weaker, then what should one do? One should understand that instead of me controlling the situation is controlling me. Instead of me controlling the mind is controlling me. So what should we do? In order to regulate our life, we should make a sadhana card kind of thing. Make your own sadhana card, you know. That every day, you know, what time I complete my rounds, how many days it has gone to the next day, in a month, you can check that. And how much I have read Prabhupada's books regularly, you can keep a track of that. And Gayatri, what time I did Gayatri. So when you fill up a chart, you'll be ashamed so much at the end of the week when you see the chart, you know. You'll come to realize, my Lord, I have to improve a lot. So I used to make a sadhana card for myself, you know, take a red ink. When you take a red, what do you call it, highlighter. And then highlight, it's full of highlight. If it is full of highlight, for example, night if I sleep after 10 o'clock, I have to highlight. And similarly, morning if I get up after 4 o'clock, I have to highlight. If I didn't read Prabhupada's book that day, I have to highlight. If I didn't do Gayatri at a certain time, I have to highlight. So if your weekly sadhana card is full of highlights, what does it mean? It's a red signal, danger. That means you have to bring about a change. Why I am telling all of you are grown-up devotees, mature devotees. I am nobody to chastise you or scold you. But I am telling you because as we grow, there will not be many people who will tell us these things. That is a problem. Because people will think you are a very advanced devotee. You are very wonderful. Everyone will say you are wonderful. That's the way Vaishnavas work. You know? Vaishnavas always glorify us. They will not tell our faults. So you should understand it is a sign of disloyalty. And in the long run, if you are not strict about it, it may lead to disaster in our spiritual life. Because all bridges that break, it all begins from a small crack. A small crack can lead to a catastrophe in the long run. So we should try to be very strict. This also includes the strict vows, following the four regulative principles. None of you here is going to eat meat any day, you know, or smoke a cigarette, you know. Especially in India, such things may not happen. It's very unlikely, you know. Such things may not happen. In the West, it's a problem. Somebody, even after becoming a devotee, you know, he may switch back to old habits again. But in India, Indians mostly, even before becoming Hare Krishna, many of you might have been following those principles. Meat eating, avoiding meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex and all that. So, when it comes to illicit sex, these principles are supposed to be elaborately explained to you in the counselor meetings or on a one-to-one level, personal level. So Prabhupada gave different standards for husband-wife relationship which have to be understood actually. That is why, again the same point, that trust and faith in someone who is guiding you is very vital for you. Someone who is a counselor. Maharaj has made this counseling system. Generally what happens in counselor-counselor sometimes, if I go and tell my counselor something, that counselor will go and dama-dama-dama-dama-dama-dama tell everyone. Sometimes people fear like that. Then what will happen to my image in the devotee community? So people will sometimes fear. So that's where that trust element comes. Like for example, trust is such a thing that the senior sometimes fears to give instruction to the junior, thinking that, you know, does the junior have so much trust in me that if I give instruction, if he or she discards instruction away, it won't be good. So there is a lack of, you know, trust. Similarly, from the junior side, the junior approaching the senior hasn't developed a very strong trust in the senior. And they may be fearing. Many people have fear. The biggest fear, even in devotee community, is maintaining confidence. Very few people have that inner strength of heart to maintain the confidence. Like, you know, in one of the foreign temples it happened. that one devotee went and confided to another devotee. So that devotee heard and said, really? You did these things? Really? Really? He was asking everything. And then next day morning, Bhagavatam class, he went and opened everything. You all know, you know, this devotee did this, did that, and you are thinking he's a great devotee. And the devotee was sitting in the class, he jumped up and he ran away, crying tears. He ran out of the temple, he never came back. So this is a practical, you know, down-to-earth example of somebody breaking confidence. So we need people who can preserve confidence. If you want to be in the good books of people below you, and if you want to be trusted by others, then you should be able to hold confidence. That means you should know the weaknesses of your subordinates and still not tell others about it. It requires a lot of like once Devamrita Prabhu, I can tell you a practical example. You know Devamrita Prabhu. I know a lot about Devamrita Prabhu because I was closely associating with him in Bombay. Once Devamrita Prabhu, in the temple hall, myself and him, we both were walking. At that time he saw there was one brahmachari in the temple who was decorating this jhulan for Radha and Krishna. You know, in Chapati they make this jhula, you know, this long jhulan they make. So he was decorating the jhulan with flowers and everything. There was also one married Mataji who was also a very young girl. So she was also decorating. So this person was decorating on this side and she was decorating on the other side. And Devamrita Prabhu observed that this person is developing a very intimate friendship with her. The way he was talking to her, the way he was dealing with her, especially during the festival time. So Devamrita Prabhu observed it one or two festivals that he is getting very close to her. And he kept it in mind. He saw it. So I saw Devamrita Prabhu seeing it also. But I was with him. I saw him. Devamrita Prabhu was stunned, taken aback, you know. And then he saw that I am with him. So he didn't say anything also that time. He didn't call. So after a week, the festival was over and everything. So Devamrita Prabhu called him, you know. Anyway, Devamrita Prabhu went to the, you know, bathroom for shaving his hair. So this devotee was shaving for him. So of course there was nobody in the bathroom. Devamrita Prabhu was there and the devotee was there. And I was taking bath at the other side of the bathroom. So I saw Devamrita Prabhu telling him that time, privately, correcting him, telling the devotee that, you know, festival was very nice, you did decoration very nice. I'd like to tell you this one thing. It's very dangerous for you. You are playing with fire. But if you are not in proper consciousness, Devamrita Prabhu could understand that this devotee was not in proper consciousness. So he corrected him. And the devotee was very grateful. He said, Prabhuji, I'll be very careful. So why I'm telling you this example, people like Devamrita Prabhu have that ability to hold confidence. Of course, now can we say that, you know, we can never achieve it? We can also achieve it in our lives. But we should learn to hold confidence so that people can put trust in us. Similarly, we also should put trust in other people. If you don't trust people who are above us, or people who are guiding us, all of you, I'm sure, are guided by your seniors. If you are not having trust in them, it is better for you to go and tell them that I'm unable to develop trust in you because of these things. Because I'm afraid that we will break my confidence. It is better to open to them like this and tell them rather than not opening up at all. Bhukhyamakati Prachati, when we say, what does it mean? Bhukhyamakati Prachati means there is an Anubhavi Bhakta, experienced devotee. And there is an immature neophyte devotee. The neophyte devotee goes to an experienced devotee and tells that Prabhuji or Mataji, you know, I am facing this problem in my life. So what should I do? Many devotees, they conceal the confidential things, they don't tell anyone for simple reason that they will be ridiculed, you know. So the senior should have such an adhikar, such a maturity, that they should not ridicule them. Rather, what should they do? They should feel compassion for them. They should feel sympathy for them. So all of you as leaders, you should show sympathy for those who are subordinate to you rather than ridiculing them. Similarly, you are also subordinate to those in whom you have to have trust, and they should not ridicule you, rather they should feel sympathy for you. Then the trust can build up. And what happens with honest revealing of hearts? Honestly revealing the heart, it is so lightening to the heart. For example, it's very easy to sit in the Vyasasana and give. According to Garuda Puran, one who does this will go to hell. according to this samhita, that samhita, this shastra, that shastra. And you can quote, several slokas in a row, tell the translations of all of them. Thunde, Tandavani, Hatim, Vitanute. Oh, when I say the word Krishna, I want crores of ears, crores of tongues. And then all the devotees in the audience will be thinking, I never get that taste, This fellow seems to have tasted the holy name. Speaking such a high-fi things. Better be honest. Tell that, yes, chanting of the holy name is not an easy thing. Even after several years, there is a challenge. Satsuraj Maharaj honestly admitted in one of his writings that, I don't get taste always, he wrote. One of his godbrothers became angry on him. And then he wrote to him saying that, Maharaj, how can you say like this? You are a Prabhupada's disciple. People should not think that you are not getting taste, You should not write such things. Don't be too honest, Because it can disturb the faith of, younger generation or the, second generation devotees. But then again, Satsuraj Maharaj wrote in the next book, saying that one of my godbrothers is telling me like this, but I want to be honest. that some days I really get a lot of taste in chanting. I really feel like jumping blissfully. Other days, it's a struggle. Because mind is clouded with so many other thoughts and everything. So, he's really an example of a very honest person. In our devotee life, we also have to be honest. And honesty is also a sign of loyalty. Yeah. Such honesty and honest revelation to one's superiors. Every one of you here should be able to identify at least one equal or senior to you in whom you can have complete trust. And then in that person you have such a trust, you can openly, honestly tell about yourself. And that person can tell about himself or herself to you. And such friendships are very essential. Such honest friendships. In order for one to grow in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's very easy to put a show of a devotee. One can just be moving like a very nice devotee. But sometimes we may have philosophical doubts. Possible. We may not reveal to others. If I reveal this philosophical doubt, that person will think I'm not so advanced. I'm giving so many big lectures. So better not tell this. But then the doubts are very dangerous. They're like a cancer. Like Arjuna is telling Krishna, oh Madhusudana, destroy the demon of doubts, he says. So we have to destroy the doubts. So we should allow people to honestly express the doubts. It's very important. Even after becoming big devotees, if you still have, for example, somebody has a doubt about authenticity of ISKCON, or somebody has a doubt about the standing of spiritual masters in ISKCON, somebody has doubt about some of the issues that are coming in the newspaper about ISKCON. Devotees should be allowed to honestly reveal the doubts, and those doubts should be clarified. Like if somebody is revealing, Prabhuji, something came in the paper yesterday about ISKCON, immediately you get a blast. That means you have no faith in Prabhupada. Do you know what Prabhupada said? One who doesn't have faith in ISKCON or in Shastras will go to hell. Aprapimam nivartante vritti samsara vartmani. 9.3 Bhagavad Gita. And the story ends there. You can never reveal your mind. There is no revelation of mind. So devotees, amongst devotees, as you grow over the years, we have to have honest revelation of doubts. And when we honestly reveal our doubts, either philosophical doubts or practical application doubts or difficulty in following the vows that we have promised a spiritual master or our interpersonal relationship misunderstanding doubts, so many things we could talk about. So that requires that one develops true friendships with others. Not with everyone, it's not possible with everyone. At least one or two, one should have such friendship. Then, what is that? To remain fired up?
My spiritual master is always watching me. Will this please?
That was one of the sub points. But one more point I think is missed out here. I think somebody can.
Honesty.
Honesty is also loyalty, Honest revelation of one's heart is also a sign of loyalty. There is one more aspect to loyalty. One more very important aspect to loyalty. To what extent we can associate with other sampradayas and other groups, to what extent That's a very important question. Similarly, to what extent we should associate freely with other spiritual masters or the disciples. So that also comes under loyalty. For example, like you say, I come from a background of Shankara family, Shankarite family. So I have some affinity. I like to quote some things from Shankaracharya which are in line with Vaishnava Sampradaya. Like Bhajagovindam, I keep quoting always, because I used to always recite it before. Or something from Yajurveda. But I should be careful that I don't exceed my limit. What would be that limit? For example, if I go too much in that direction of quoting them, then I am in a Vaishnava Sampradaya now. I am following Prabhupada. I should speak from Prabhupada's books. So here comes a very important point. When we give lectures, we should be very cautious that we represent Prabhupada properly. That is also loyalty to Prabhupada. Sometimes we want some masala to speak in the lecture, some nice story which no one knows. Today I am going to tell you a story which no one knows. Haribo, Jassi, you all would not have heard. And everyone is thinking, where this fellow got, where did this fellow get this new story from? They never heard it. And everyone is sitting, at the edge of the seat, with the open mouth, And then the story begins, it goes on. And then the story ends, everyone relaxes. Okay, now story is over now. Again he says, Adhyatmika, Adhidavika, Adhidavika Klesh, all that. You heard it several times. Ajanma Mithu Jaravyadhyam. You heard it many times. So people sometimes want to keep the audience at the edge of their seat, So they want to tell something new, or some masala, whatever. So how much such masala can be allowed in our society? It's a serious question. If you want to be loyal to Prabhupada, of course it doesn't mean you should not read other books. For example, I read books by Satyadas Maharaj, or Devamrita Swami, or Giriraj Swami. These are all Prabhupada disciples. If you want nice new things, you read even Prabhupada's pastimes. Even Leelamrita, it's a ocean of pastimes. Even Bhagavatam has so much, we have not read it. Generally we think, Prabhupada says the same thing again and again. We think it's not true. Actually, if you read carefully, there is a lot actually. You need very attentive reading, focused reading, and you have to note down nice things. Then you can tell many nice things from Prabhupada's books. It's not that, you have to always go outside Prabhupada's books to, look for some masala, that's one thing. With respect to content, I am saying. But apart from content, also the style of speaking. Prabhupada, for example, was straightforward. He was preaching purely Krishna consciousness. So to what extent we can compromise, like we are giving stress management seminar in companies. Or we are giving, for example, companies we are giving, or we are including a little bit of science, scientific preaching. If you see our discovery yourself, it begins with a scientific note. But in the third lesson only Vedas come into picture. And then fourth lesson, science of soul. Fifth lesson, substance shadow. And then gradually Sanatana Dharma and everything. And then why we are fully devotional. So initially we have a little scientific touch only to get the people. Try to assume two banks of a river, In between river is flowing. So this side there are devotees. And this side there are non-devotees, karmis. And in between there is a bridge. So devotees are playing Mridangam Kartal, Hare Krishna, they are singing this side. And non-devotees are watching from there, hey, who are those crazy guys, Other side, they are doing all this. They don't know who they are. Many people don't know what ISKCON is doing and all, they don't know. Some people ridicule and all without knowing much. And those devotees that side are looking at this karmi side and they are thinking, how can we get those people to our side? In between what is there? It's a bridge. So bridge means, so devotees are coming here in the bridge. So they are coming almost to the center of the bridge and telling these people, you also come here. Because if you come, we are offering you something valuable for you. So because these devotees are coming up to this, these people also come up to this and they have a negotiation there. And devotees convince them, there are very wonderful things on the other side, please come. And then you catch their hands and take them to the other side. And then now they are also devotees now. So this is called as bridging fields. Like for example management, leadership, or scientific preaching, or cooking classes, things like that. These are called as bridging topics. We show slide shows and all. You have to be very careful in bridging topic. If you go, like if devotees keep on playing Kartal Mridangam and go to the other side and they are totally with them, and the course of time you may forget where I came from and you may remain with them only, you may get lost. It's very dangerous. So you will see that Prabhupada also, he is his journey to other planets. Why Prabhupada wrote that book? You know that? Which year he published the book? In 1969, they said Neil Armstrong went to moon, they were saying, no? So that time there was a lot of, you know, eagerness among the scientists to know how to go to other planets. So Prabhupada wrote the book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. The book begins with, you know, material, anti-material, that's only one page. After that, it's all spiritual, you will see that. Yeah. Prabhupada says, you have to go back home, back to Goloka Vrindavan, and he is giving, you know, many, many steps for that. So our preaching should be quite devotional, eventually. We cannot be too much hovering on, especially to the common people. I am not talking about preaching to scientists, what BI is doing. That is very unique preaching. We are not talking about that. I am talking about our preaching in general. So sometimes devotees are too fearful to introduce Krishna consciousness directly. So that could be a sign of lack of faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. You understand what I am saying? Then it may lead to waffling. You know what is waffling? Waffling means, you know, compromising on the truth. Somebody says, you know, Prabhuji or Mataji, I heard that, you know, we never went to moon. Oh, no, who said, you know? No, we were, you know, Neil Armstrong went to moon, don't worry, you know. Don't worry, take prasadam. Everything will be all right. That is waffling, yeah. Somebody says, you know, Prabhuji, I heard that there were 16,108 palaces in Dwaraka. Dwaraka is so small. How can such palaces fit in? You know, if somebody says, no, there was only one palace, you know, but was reflecting in the water as, you know, 16,000 or something, or to concoct something, you know, this is called waffling. Yeah, not admitting the truth out of fear that the other person is not having faith, and how can I give him faith? Out of fear, it's called waffling. So waffling is a sign of disloyalty also. Of course, what should we say? What I say generally is, when boys come and ask me, Prabhuji, man never went to moon, then what I tell them, even one Karmi has written, one K Singh has written a book on man never went to moon. And 14% of the Americans, how much percent of Americans? 60% of the Americans don't believe that man went to moon. And you can see that moon landing CD, I'll tell him. So he will ask me, that is all right, Prabhuji, what do you say? What is ISKCON stand? He may ask strongly. Then I say, Prabhupada once quoted, he said, they might have gone to Rahu, you know, planet, and they are imagining that they went to moon. Oh, thank you, Prabhuji, they went to some planet, no? Okay. At least they become satisfied. That is one thing that convinces many students. Yeah. So I show them Prabhupada's quote, yeah. At least, thank you, Prabhuji, told that they went somewhere, you know. If you say that we never went anywhere, you know, it becomes too much. So at least they have a quote from Prabhupada. So we have to tell them something that is convincing to them, at the same time not baffling also. So you have to be very intelligent for that. So we should not try to cheat them. If you have a habit of cheating them, then you will get cheated yourself. And even you will lose faith in Prabhupada over a period of time. If you try to cheat others saying something improper. So loyalty means giving the truth coming in parampara as it is. Handing it over. At the same time, not spoiling the purity of the message we are giving. Sometimes in ISKCON, it's a great curse that sometimes after several years of spending time in ISKCON, there are people who speak 20% of what Prabhupada gave and 80% of Milavat. Like you have seen Dalda, you have seen? How many of you cooked with Dalda? Dalda only they call it? Dalda. Say some vanaspati made item. Say if you make jalebi, what do they make in Dalda? In a sweet they make? What do you? Okay, gulab jamun, yeah. Say gulab jamun made in vanaspati and gulab jamun made in pure ghee. Is there not a difference? Isn't it? Vanaspati, what it does to your throat? You feel burning sensation later on, isn't it? Similarly, you know, if you speak 80% masala and 20% Prabhupada books, after the lecture even you will feel like an atheist. You will not feel nice. What have I done? What did I speak? See, the masalas, you know. You know, when you give masala, what happens? Before giving, you plan in the mind. I will say this and they will think like this. They will clap hands, they will be happy and everything. And while giving it, you are thinking you are the doer, you are very great and everything. And after you have given it, you feel empty-hearted. You feel yourself empty. Because you feel, because there is a kind of cheating tendency in that. See, I am not trying to tell you that you should not be an impressive speaker. You can certainly present the same content in Prabhupada books in an impressive way. You know, you can, if you are able to relate it with the worldly things very nicely. You know, Socrates said this, you know, so and so said that. It's very good if you can do that. Or you can read Prerana books of Maharaj. Maharaj has given such wonderful lectures. Or any other sannyasis, learn from them if you want to keep it nice. But don't mix it up with useless jokes. Like, you know, I heard sometimes hear jokes like, I'll tell you one joke which I heard. You know. Gaurang Prabhu was telling me this joke in one of the classes. So I asked Gaurang Prabhu after the class. He said, you know, like, you know, there was a question paper, you know. The question paper said, what is the thing you hate the most, you know, it was written. And then the person, you know, stapled the question paper to the sheet and he submitted it. The examiner was wondering, what has he submitted? And then later on he understood what he hated the most was the question paper itself, you know. So, there are many jokes like this. But every joke you say, Prabhupada used to joke also, a lot. Prabhupada made audience laugh like anything many times. But those jokes had a spiritual connection. Once Prabhupada says in SSR, if you see, for example, you know, he was going with his small son Vrindavan, you know. And then he was asking, Papa, what is that Julus, that procession going? It's a marriage party, he said. Oh, really? What happens in a marriage? Yeah. Then he said, there is a husband, bride and bridegroom, and they get married and all. And the boy was watching for some time. Okay, what about you? Did you get married? He asked his father. Prabhupada says that, no? Anybody knows in what context Prabhupada quotes that example? Anybody can say? Inquisitiveness. Correct, yeah. Child inquiring the father. Similarly, Prabhupada says we have to inquire about Krishna and everything. So, we should be able to relate it. If you are not able to relate, you know, you tell a nice joke and audience will ask you, okay, so what? No, I just told you just like that. Oh, it's not very good, yeah. The joke should have a strong connection to Krishna conscious philosophy. Otherwise, such jokes can lead us to the zone of disloyalty over a period of time. So we have to be very cautious in what we give. Honestly, we should present the truths. And we have to remember that I am a representative of Prabhupada and the Acharyas. And I have not come here to, you know, become a hero amongst the people. Why am I here? See, I am giving all of you a lecture on loyalty today. What is the purpose of my giving this lecture? To remind myself and become more loyal myself. And also share it with others whom I also appreciate and they should become loyal. That should be the goal. My goal should not be to simply impress the people. Otherwise, I may tell some nice stories and end the lecture. So we have to be very careful what we are giving. So that is also loyalty. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So that is the time generally speakers
give some extra special masala so that they become happy. Yeah, like for example, we were hearing, you know, today some of the lectures by Maharaj. And we also hear from other Maharajas also. Some of the brahmacharis are disturbed when they hear from different people. It doesn't look like ISKCON philosophy, you know. There is very little of some, you know, things from Prabhupada books. And there is a lot of other things, you know, which you have never heard, and you know, and the way it is presented, which has never been presented by Prabhupada like that. So these things raise questions in people's minds, you know, whether is it proper for us to. Some of the devotees want to know how much of this can we speak, you know, like, you know, if you sing any of these songs, any of you would like to sing these songs in your lecture, isn't it? You know, so these things. For example, I'll tell you how strict was Prabhupada if you want to know. Prabhupada's in the top terrace, you know, 2-3 floors up, you know. And there he said, stop him! Prabhupada shouted, you know, in his bed. So one of the Harikeshpur was there with him. Prabhupada, what to stop? You know? I'm telling you, go and stop him, he said. Prabhupada, whom to stop? You know, that fellow who is singing. You know. He said, See, he's singing bhaja. You know, he said, bhaja Shri Krishna. So he was singing like that, you know, bhaja in between. So he said, really? And then he went down. And he heard the song, you know, Sri Krishna and all that. He didn't hear it clearly. Then he went very near to the singer, you know. And shoot, he kept his ear near me. And then he was saying, Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadigaur Bhakta Vrinda. Bhaja Singh, hey, stop, he told him. Prabhupada is telling you to avoid this bhaja. You know, he told him. Prabhupada was very angry, he said. And similarly, some devotees started a new thing. Gaur Nityananda Bol, Hari Bol. What they would do, like say, I will act as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will take 5 of you. I say, 4 of you I will take. So with Sundakshapu, I will dance and you all will sing. Gaur Nityananda Bol, Hari Bol, Hari. So I am Gaur and he is Nityananda now. And then later on what I will do with Sivaspo, I will dance. And then you will say, Gaura Advaita, you know. Gaura Sri Advaita Bol, Hari Bol. So they would dance with one devotee like that. They would form like couple. You know? And they would dance like that. Prabhupada was wild when he heard this. He said, who has concocted this new mantra? Told them to stop. Similarly, even this morning we sing, no? Hariharaya Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah. Gopal Govindiram Srimad Sudan. This much only Prabhupada wanted to sing in the morning. Other times you can sing the whole Hariraya Nama. So Jai Goswami has made a complete list of, you know, yeah, all these things. Also he has made things like, he says, you know, some people sing Hore, Hore, you know, and then all that he has mentioned in that, pronunciation of the mantra also. So he has said how gradually down the line when parampara goes, you know, things can get changed. Like some people say Ram, Ram, you know, like, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, and not Ram. Some mantras in China, Ram Ram, they say. You have seen that? Huh? Instead of Rama, they say Ram. In Hindi, Ram is correct. But in Sanskrit, it is? See. Just so I was saying, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. It is not Hare Ram. It is Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. See, practical example. Live telecast for you. You know, isn't it? How we can, See, pronunciation of the Mahamantra is like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Some people sing Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's not Ram, it's Rama. Krishna. Yeah, it's Krishna. Yeah. So why I'm saying this? In the long run when we some say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Krishna is Draupadi. Radharani, Draupadi, Radharani, Draupadi, Draupadi, Draupadi. It's like yeah, it'd be like that. But Krishna will not be there. But, of course Prabhupada wasn't very strict about the pronunciation. Prabhupada said that, you know, Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana, you know. Krishna will know your intent, you know, he said.
So there are some regional pronunciations also.
Yeah.
In Maharashtra, generally, they say Krishna.
Yeah. Krishna, Krishna. Kru, Kru. They say. Yeah, that's true. And Southern is Krishna, Kri, K-R-I. Yeah. So those are tolerable. Those are a little tolerated. Yeah. That is not disloyalty. Yeah.
Bengali is asking.
How is it in Bengali is asking? Krishna. Yeah. Yeah. That is not counted in this loyalty, surely. But, you know, you are saying in Mahasatsang, you know, they are using different methods and all. I told the devotees that we have to see the dedication and commitment of the disciples of Prabhupada in their personal life. We have to see only that. You know, we don't have to see all the nitty-gritties. So, for example, there are people who present in this way to impress the masses, because masses want these things, so that they can attract them to Prabhupada's mission, finally. At one time, there were some of the Maharajas, like Radha Govind Maharaj, for example, when ISKCON put them on a desk to verify whether they are representing Prabhupada properly or not. And they understood that ultimately they are representing Prabhupada only, you know. But sometimes the mixture is so much, sometimes we get frightened, you know, where are we going? Sometimes. Of course, to keep it 100% pure, like 24 karat gold is also very difficult for us. because yeah, correct, yeah, yeah. But we can certainly add some things, but we have to be careful what we are adding. Yeah, like realization, we say, you know, or something additional. It's very good to hear from, you know, read from other books of Prabhupada disciples and all, and you can add. That is very safe. That's quite safe. Purity of the message, maintaining it, that is also loyalty. Maintaining the purity of the message, you return the point?
See, here, maintaining loyalty to Prabhupada.
So, three points we are discussing. One is, there are other fields like management, scientific preaching and all these things. So, to what extent can we do? We have to be very careful. For example, in Bombay, Shamanpur had something called as BAST. So, myself and Shamanpur, we are very interested in management. We used to discuss, and you know, we have practically 30-40 books, management books. We read a lot of management books and we discuss a lot about what problems come in management and how do we deal with situations, complex situations and everything. So for us, it's like, you know, nectar, management talks. See, he was a president in Bombay, I am president in Pune here. You know, we have 60 brahmacharis, you know. Can you imagine, you know, serving, I'm sorry, can you imagine getting work done from people who are employed without salary? Imagine. So these people are not given any salary. At the same time, they are not pure devotees either. They have a lot of contaminations, you know, metal conditionings and everything. So to get the work done from such people, one powerful force is required. What is that force?
Love
and inspiration. Yeah. Without that, you can't get the things done by force. It's very difficult. At the same time, if you are only giving love, at the same time, then they may become, you know, very loose with you also. So you have to have strictness at the same time. Vajradapi katoram, kutumas, sumadapi komalam, as we say, you know. So we used to discuss a lot, Maisam Shamanpu, many things. So he came up with a course called Stress Management for 2 days, you know. I attended it. It's 95% karmi stuff. And 5% the devotion stuff is the chanting of the holy name, which he introduces in that. There are many other things in that. So I went to Kirloskar and after 2 days I told Shamanpu, Prabhuji, thank you very much. Now I will not be able to do these things. It's very tough. Then later on, Shamanpu himself told me, Rajasham, don't endeavor to learn these things. Stress management, he said. Because Maharaj told him also, that you can hand it over to grihasthas in Bombay like Raghunath Prabhu and others. Maharaj said to brahmacharis in the ashram, they don't have to go and do this kind of long seminars. Maharaj told them. Maharaj said, somebody who is an MBA, you know, who is in that field, let them take it up. Maharaj said like that. So Shamanpu called me and told me. So after that, I also wasn't very inspired to go into such kind of management courses for the companies. Can any of you say what could be the reason? Maharaj said that. Yeah?
Too much
contact with material stuff. It's in Maharaj's point is that especially those who are brahmacharis who are preaching, they should maintain as much as purity as possible in the content of what they are giving. Like Gaurang Prabhu had one, Gaurang Prabhu in Calcutta gave one 2 day seminar. It's 3 hours each. In 2 days he gave 12 hours seminar, for which they gave him 4 lakhs. Can you imagine, Calcutta. It's called as corporate athlete. So the company gave him 4 lakhs for that. They gave him flight ticket also. So when Gaurangpur came to Pune, he said, hey Gaurangpur, I want all those slide shows and everything. So, you know, you're going to sit with me and teach me everything, I told him. I want to learn everything from you. Now, Pune, you know, we are going to come up with a new temple in future, you know. So I would like to go to some companies. You know what he told me? Hey Radhesham, kuch maja nahi. In his own words, you know, where he said it's boring, he said, giving this 2 days of stuff, you know, management stuff. There is no, you have to please those people, you know. You have to speak things which will please them. He said, there's nothing devotional. He said, no, don't get into this, I'm also coming out, he said. So, I'm a person who's coming out, I don't want you to get into it, he said. He gave it up, he said, because it's not pure stuff, it's not, you know, Shuddha Bhakti, it's not pure Bhagavatam, you know. Yeah. So, and he told me, when I speak on Bhagavatam, you know, after the Bhagavatam, I feel like a ocean of nectar in my heart, you know. You feel satisfaction, everyone feels satisfaction. Because it's glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's what Bhagavatam is about. And glorification of devotees. It satisfies everyone. Vasudeva Katha Prashna, Purusham Sri Punatihi, Bhaktaram, Shrotram, Pritchakam, Tatpada Sallam Yathayati. All the three people, the questioner, the hearer, the speaker, everyone gets satisfied. So, the purity of our message is also very important. How we represent the parampara. When we take stories here and there, we have to be cautious, we have to be careful. And we should be able to connect it properly to Krishna consciousness, otherwise we should not take them foolishly. So one is the purity of the message, another one I was telling about other sampradayas. Radhanath Swami is a genius in knowing how to relate with other sampradayas, at the same time maintain one's loyalty to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like, you know, we have to associate with Sri Vaishnavas, we can associate with Shankarites, you know, we can associate with Nimbarka, anybody. And Maharaj associates so much closely with Ramesh Baba. Practical example. See, Ramesh Baba is in Vrindavan, and their yatra has no rules, no regulations, no counseling system. 5,000 people go for, sometimes, you know, 4,000, 5,000 people go in Vrindavan Parikrama there, you know. And anybody can join anywhere, any place, anytime. You can go with a group like that, you know. And here is Maharaj, who has made the counseling system, organizational management and everything, buses with numbers and everything. You can see such an organization here. But still Maharaj can gel with Vijabhasi so intimately, in such a friendly way. And he doesn't criticize them, what management you have in your yatra. Similarly, they sing all kinds of braja songs, you know, they sing. And here is Maharaj, who sings only the songs in our parampara, at least now. You know, you can see that in the early days Maharaj was singing some braj songs because he was in touch with Ramesh Babanda. And then Maharaj said we should sing only ISKCON songs. He sings only ISKCON songs, you will see that. Strictly adheres to that, you can see. And you will always see that when Maharaj quotes any pastime or anything, you will say this is from Mukta Charita book. This is from Govinda Lilamrit, this is from Gopal Champu. He will always quote it, you will see that. Maharaj doesn't speak anything and everything. Although in braj, if you see, so many pastimes are floated which no one knows the source many times. So why I am telling you this, Maharaj is a genius, emotional genius. He knows how to deal with different people, you know, of different sampradaya. Recently we had an eyewitness of how he dealt with Sri Sampradaya Acharyas. In fact, I was amazed, how is it that the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas are dancing? And they say we want to join ISKCON. Then the devotees told me, after giving all the lectures in the evenings, Maharaj went to their houses along with the brahmacharis and all. Every house of those Vaishnava Acharyas, Maharaj went and spent time with them, talking to them, developing friendship with them and doing kirtan in their house. And they all told Maharaj that our house has become blessed because of your coming. And then next day, when Maharaj says, develop relationship in private and demonstrate it in public. This is Maharaj's statement. Maharaj says that. Develop relationships in private and demonstrate it in public, he says. Maharaj precisely does that. Others will be inspired, especially juniors will be inspired. For example, publicly you demonstrate your relationship with the person by glorifying him. I know about this devotee. Like I said, the only problem with this devotee is that he has got a dozen talents. Sometimes Maharaj would say like that. He knows so much, now we don't know where to use him. So sometimes Maharaj will say, I'll tell you how Maharaj speaks. Once he says, sometimes the grihasthas say, Maharaj says in one lecture, sometimes the grihasthas come and tell me that, Maharaj, we have this problem, we have that problem, this problem. Dozen problems, Maharaj says, different list of items. But I can tell you one thing, that these grihasthas are ignorant of, he says. So it looks like a defeat. And then he says, what they don't know is that everyone in this world is having such problems, even brahmacharis, even sannyasis, even grihasthas. Everyone is ultimately having problems and everyone will have to solve problems. I mean, everyone will have to live with problems in this world. That they do not know, he says. Which means it's not a defeat. He is not defeating them, you understand? No? So, Maharaj, many times in the public, you will see when he glorifies the Vaishnavas, at that time you come to understand what kind of relation he has with that Vaishnava, you understand? Maharaj actually, then you can see that in terms of taking prasad with them. Actually, in those early days when I would see Maharaj, you know, Maharaj would stand up from his seat with folded palms, bow down, and they come, he would embrace them and he would make them sit, and Maharaj would glorify them. I used to think, oh, what is this, you know? This is like a, you know, it's a very offensive thought. In my early days, I used to think this is a big drama. I used to think, why to do this etiquette so much? Is it necessary? Later on, in one of our brahmacharya classes, Maharaj said, etiquette is like an ornament of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava should never be lazy to follow the etiquettes. me, sir, how many times he has glorified Chandramali Swami? How many times he has introduced Jayadev Swami? You know, those, every time, you know, he will show that sign of respect. You can see that. You may think, you know, imagine any one of us, we are dealing with one another. Say now, two of you are God brothers. In the long run, we will also become very senior. How we deal with one another is very important. Is it not true? He is my friend, you know, he is always naughty, you know. That's the introduction I would like to give about him. Can you give like that? Yeah. See, you have to be intimate at the same time respectful. See that, yeah. And Maharaj is that example. It's a very high class example. So in this way, when we deal with other sampradayas, we should heartily glorify them. Like Maharaj glorifies Sri Sampradaya Vaishnavas. Maharaj spoke about Ramanujacharya so wonderfully, if you see. And even they were very, very impressed. But at the same time, there are examples of people who are disloyal to their own sampradaya. In the name of broad-mindedness, they become disloyal to their own sampradaya. Can somebody give an example for this? Think about it. Yeah, yes, ma'am. That's a very good example. There are many Sri Vaishnavas in South who are staunch followers of Vishnu. Now they are going to Sai Baba and worshipping a man as God. It's very unfortunate. They come to Shirdi. Horrible it is. Yeah. So they have fallen. Sthanat, Brashta, Patanti, Adaha. Jayesham, Purusham, Sakshat, Atma, Prabhavam, Ishwaram. Na bhajanti avajananti sthanat brashtaha patantiyadaha. Bhagavatam says that sthanat brashtaha patantiyadaha. They have fallen from that position by disrespecting Krishna, Krishna's supremacy. Na bhajanti avajananti. They didn't worship Krishna, they disregarded him, and now they have fallen prey to this kind of paths. Can any of you say in our practical life how in the name of being broad-minded we can be foolish and disloyal to our guru? Practical example. For example, that's a good example. Yeah, you can tell that first time. His brother had written a, Bhagavan Acharya's brother had written a poem on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wanted to read it in front of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a system that anyone who wants to approach him should approach only through Sarvadamadhar. He had a system. So then he went to Sarvadamadhar and said, my brother wants to read a poem to Mahaprabhu, please allow him. You know. Then he said, what is that poem? No, he's a very, very great scholar. He's a Sanskrit scholar. He said, all that is all right. Let me know what he's going to read. Tell me. Then he was telling some poem to the effect of saying that, you know, Jagannath has a wooden body and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was moving Jagannath. So in one sense, he was actually inserting Mayavad into that verse, treating the Lord's body and his soul as two different things. When Sarup Damodar heard it, he said, this is Mayavad, he said, this cannot be tolerated. So Bhagavan Acharya was foolish. He thought that it's all right, no problem. He was allowing that. Then later on, Sarvadama rejected it. He didn't accept. Like for example, one gentleman comes here in the morning, one Mr. Rati, you know. So he is very attached to Radha Raman worship, you know. So he has named his son also as Raman, you know. And as soon as you sing Hare Krishna, he will go crazy, you know. He will dance, closing the eyes, you know. Sometimes I would see him, you know, would be dancing like gopis, you know. The way he moves his hands and legs and everything. So once he invited me to his house, I had gone also. I did bhajan and all. And all his relatives, they all relish Krishna bhajan very much. We sing Krishna songs and all. So one day he came to invite me. He said, Prabhu, in my house there's a very special program. Would you like to come? I said, no, Prabhu, I'm very busy. No, you don't have to give program. You come and attend it, he said. I said, what is the program? Then he said, one Sakhi ji has come from Vrindavan. He said, who is the Sakhi ji? I asked. He said, the Sakhi ji is a man. He's a man about 50-60 years old man. who dresses like a gopi in Vrindavan. And his associates, they sing the song with mridangam, karta, tabla, and harmonium and everything. And he would dance like a gopi. You know. And he will, you know, Prabhuji, he gets into such bhav, you know, he cries tears, he rolls on the ground like Radha, you know. No, I went to Vrindavan, I met him, I invited him, he has come to my house now. No, I want to invite all of you ISKCON devotees to my house, you know, for this wonderful performance of Sakhiji. He was telling me. I said, oh, I understood, I cannot explain to him that day. Immediately I said, we have no time, we will meet later. Another time I sat with him 2 hours to explain about what is Hajjaism and all that, you know. My Lord, even after 2 hours of my preaching, he had difficulty, you know. How I cannot appreciate his Sakhiji. Difficulty, yeah. I said, you will not understand unless you come to our classes regularly. Are you chanting Hare Krishna? I said, only that I am not able to do, Prabhuji. You know, I was telling. I said, that is the problem. You begin chanting even 2 rounds regularly, you know, you will understand everything. So that means the person is foolish. You know? He doesn't know. On one hand, he is attached to Radha Raman, you know. On the other hand, he was also asking me that, you know, Prabhuji, can you come and teach Sharirika Bhashya in our house? Once he was telling me. You know, I know, do you know what is Sharirika Bhashya? He said, all my relatives are asking me to come and teach that Bhagavad Gita commentary of Shankara, which is total Mayavad. So he said, can you? Then I told him, it's total Mayavad. Mayavad, what is Mayavad? He was asking, he didn't know. So some people are innocent and foolish in this respect. So they may deviate from their own sampradaya and guru. I told you are a Vaishnava. He is coming in a Sri Vaishnava family. Told him that, you know, so we are very fortunate because Prabhupada has strongly given these things. He will say, this is Mayava, this is Dharmatvaji, this is a Nirisharvadi, this is a Buddhist, this is this. Prabhupada has given everything in his books. So that is, see, our organization is the only organization, you know, who will not be going to other organizations begging for their books. You will see that, reading any other books like that, you will see that. Whereas, even Brahma Kumari, many ladies come and buy our books here. Never stop, yeah. Yeah, they buy Prabhupada's books and they read. Our Bhagavad Gita goes there, like one Vivekananda Gadi used to come here, Vivekananda people's Gadi. And that fellow once took 100 Gitas and he was boarding it in the vehicle. And immediately Lakshman pushed out, yeah, stop here. Your Mayavadi people buying our Bhagavad Gita. I'll report to the president. He immediately brought him to me, you know, to my office. Ramakrishna Mission people, yeah.
One of my colleagues is a strong follower. Yeah. He's a bachelor.
Yeah.
He works in the company. He one day brought Bhagavad Gita somewhere, Anuradhapur. He said, this is what all the brahmacharis in our temple
here. Here. Yeah. Yeah. On one hand is the rules and regulations. On the other hand, they don't have any chastity to their sampradaya, like that kind of thing.
And for 2 days he has taken leave and gone to see Brahma Kumari.
Is it Mount Abu?
No, here. I think she's come to Mela.
Oh, right.
He's
right.
Taken 2 days. He's a staunch follower. Like, since morning, evening, he's there only. He doesn't have any family.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
He's there only.
Yeah. It happens with this. Because they are not guided properly. Huh? They don't know. There are 3 boys at least who are initiated in Ramakrishna Mission who are coming here for Sunday programs regularly. Yeah. And now that boy is standing 16 rounds. One of the boys from Ramakrishna Mission. Because they are not guided properly after that. Initiation is the last point for them. After initiated, you are finished after that. So this person was buying Gita. Then I called him to my office and I asked him. He said, sir, I want to take this 100, please allow me. And Lakshman Prabhu said, Prabhuji, inko mana karna chahe. So what Lakshman Prabhu thought, this fellow will take these Bhagavad Gitas and distribute it and then he will preach Mayavad to people and spoil them or something like that, you know. And that fellow said, I'm going to village. Nobody buys our Bhagavad Gita. They all say, we want Bhaktivedanta Swami's Bhagavad Gita. You know? Yes, sir. That's why I take it. Till now, already I have taken 500 from you, he said. Which was not known to Lakshmana and Prabhu. Already I have been taking regularly, time to time, he said. Every time I come in my car, generally he brings his car inside, he keeps it here and he takes and goes, you know. Devotees didn't observe it. So it's like that, you can see that. Because they don't know what is parampara, you know. They just don't know. So loyal to parampara also is very... I allowed him to take it. No problem. He's doing a good job for us, distributing Prabhupada's books. You know? Yeah. That is simply a gadi. They take books in the gadi and they distribute. Yeah. Because when they distribute Bhagavad Gita, our Prabhupada books is very famous. Yeah. So there are many angles to it. One very last point which I would like to present is one Jagadanath Pandit's pastime. Yeah. Jagannatha Pandit once saw Sanatana Goswami. You all know who is Jagannatha Pandit? Everyone knows? Everyone knows in Krishna Lila, what is he? Satyabhama, yeah. So just as Satyabhama has, you know that verse, very famous verse? Kavasaheta viraham purushottamasya premavaloka ruchirasmita valgujalpai stairyam samana maharan madumani neenam romotsavo mamayadangri vitankitaya. So in this verse it says that Kavasa, who can tolerate separation from Lord Krishna? When Krishna goes to Dwaraka, then Vrindavan Vasis, they suffer. Similarly, wherever Krishna leaves and goes, those people suffer terribly. But then it says, this third verse, Madhumani Neenam, represents people like Satyabhama, who are very difficult to control by anyone because of the kind of wrath they have. Actually, her love was mixed with anger, transcendental anger, which was greatly loved by Krishna. Like Satyabhama would demand, you know, Krishna, you know, I want a Parijata flower right now. She demanded. And Krishna took her to heavens and gave her a Parijata flower. Actually, it is very difficult for someone to handle a person like Satyabhama. And only one person can handle. Who can handle? Krishna can handle. Krishna is such a Lord. That is why it is said in the Bhagavatam, Kingdom of God chapter, generally in the material world, you know, if you relate with someone, after some time you get bored with that person. Yeah. Like for example, if you deal with the person regularly, time to time, you know, especially with our relatives, friends, we are quite casual about them. Yeah. And even when it comes to devotee company, also sometimes the devotees, gradually over a period of time, you know what a person is. Yeah. And you take that person very casually, you know. So you may lose respect, you may lose love, you know, like that. But it is said the Lord is such a personality that the Lakshmis in the spiritual world, they never lose love and respect for Him. They always want to serve Him, eternally. Very amazing, no? Isn't it? Any, Prabhupada also had that kind of charm. That his disciples had so much love for Him and respect for Him that they heartily loved Him. It was not superficial. It was not just bowing down, superficial respect. Heartily they loved Him and respected Him. So, when a Vaishnava becomes purer and purer, he becomes like a magnet, like Prabhupada, attracting. So, because the Lord in the heart becomes more prominent and he attracts like that. So, Satyabhama shows lot of anger, shows her love in the form of anger to Krishna. So, when Satyabhama comes as Jagannatha Pandit, what he would do? He would make a thick mattress for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to sleep. And Mahaprabhu would say, how can I have this? I am a sannyasi. A sannyasi is supposed to sleep on floor or on a wooden block. How can a sannyasi sleep on such a thick mattress? If I sleep on this, I'll fall down. Mahaprabhu would say. And then he'd become very angry. And Mahaprabhu would be extremely fearful to see the anger of Jagadananda Pandit. So just to please him, he will accept it. Another time, Jagadananda Pandit brought a pot of oil, scented oil. And he came and gave it to Govinda. Hey Govinda, apply this oil on Mahaprabhu's body. He is dancing all day, chanting and dancing. And because of his, sometimes he jumps up, you know. He comes down to the ground as if he's going to break his bones, you know. So you apply on his body so that all pain will be relieved and everything. So Govinda took it and kept it. When Mahaprabhu came, he showed it. You know, Jagannatha Pandit sent this oil for you. He told me to apply on your body. Mahaprabhu smelled it and said, oh, this oil is not meant for a sannyasi. You know? Sannyasi is not supposed to use such oils. You can tell him to give it to Jagannath temple so that they can use it for the lamp of Lord Jagannath. So when Jagannath Pandit came to know that, he came there into the room that day. So the pot was lying there. So when Mahaprabhu saw Jagannath Pandit Prabhu coming, he said, oh, I think you have come to talk about that oil. I don't mind accepting it. Please give me, he said. Jagannatha Pandit said, you know what he said? No. Who said I have come to give this oil for you? This oil is good for nothing, he said, and he threw it on the ground and the pot broke into pieces and all the oil got scattered in the room. So this is Jagannatha Pandit. So these pastimes can be understood not on a level of knowledge. We have to develop our inner love and respect for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. Only then you can appreciate this pastimes. So, in this way, Jagannath Puri performed many pastimes. One time what happened, Sanatana Goswami was wearing a very beautiful red turban. He was wearing. And Jagannath Pandit went close to him and lovingly asked him, "Hey Sanatan, you are wearing a very beautiful turban. Maybe Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must have given you his maha clothes, so you are wearing it, is it?" He asked him. Then Sanatana Goswami nodded the head and said, he said, no, this was given to me by Mukundananda Saraswati. Mukundananda Saraswati was a Mayavadi sannyasi. So he gave me once when he met me, so I am wearing it, he said. As soon as Jagannanand heard it, he became so angry. You know what he said? When Jagannanand Pandit heard that the cloth did not originally belong to Lord Chaitanya, he threatened to hit Sanatana Goswami with a cooking pot. Jagannanand Pandit exclaimed, "You are one of the chief associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one is more dear to him than you. Still, you have bound your head with a cloth given to you by a Mayavadi sannyasi. Who can tolerate such behavior?" He asked him. He went to hit him. And here, you know what Sanatana said in return, reply? Sanatana Goswami replied, "My dear Jagannanand Pandit, you are a greatly learned saint. No one is dearer to Lord Chaitanya than you. This faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fits you quite well. Unless you demonstrate it, how could I learn such faith?" He asked him. So if you want to know where it is, this is C.C. Antalila 13.60. C.C. Antalila. See the behavior of Sanatana Goswami. He is saying, this faith in Mahaprabhu is fitting you quite well. Unless you demonstrate it, how could I learn such faith? That means Sanatana Goswami was very pleased with the loyalty and faith that Jagannanda Pandit showed towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was very, very pleased to see that. He said, wonderful. Instead of becoming angry on him, how can you take a pot and hit me, you know? Instead of becoming angry, he's saying that, you have such a loyalty to Mahaprabhu. I wish I have such a loyalty. He felt like that. Yeah. Have any of you seen a practical instance in your life where you saw a devotee at a strange situation, he demonstrated loyalty to Guru Parampara or to the spiritual master? You observed it and you became very pleased and you also learned that, yes, I should be loyal. If the devotee didn't demonstrate loyalty, you would have treaded a wrong path. You observed it. Just like Sanatana Goswami observed Jagannanand Pandit demonstrating loyalty. Think of situation. Anybody has come across any situation? Somebody demonstrating loyalty to Guru. Like one instance comes to my mind. One of our congregation devotees took some 5-6 of our brahmacharis to South India, you know. He wanted to take them to Udupi for some, you know, house program in his house, you know. And he booked the ticket to and fro. He was very much begging, so we allowed him. So along with that, what he did, he took them to some places where there were, you know, the preaching program was only one, but 4 days they were taken to different demigod temples, like, you know, Kali Kamandir, and, you know, different yajnas were going on, and they were also fed with food, you know, that were offered to demigods and goddesses, and people not following proper standards and everything. So there was one of our senior devotees who had gone with them. So that devotee told them, in between, things were going on, yajna was going on, they were chandi, chamundi, badrakali, they were chanting all that. So this devotee told in the ears, you know, this is not a place fit for us. And then he came out, the other devotee became angry with him. Why you came in between out? It's like a, what do you call it? It's like an offense to them and all. You know what the senior devotee said? He came back and he told all of us, he was talking, that I could see that these things have a negative impression in our mind. This kind of hearing such a, you know, going to such an atmosphere and being with such people who are wearing all kinds of, you know, strange things. And so he said, and I appreciated the devotee. He said, not only for myself, even for the others, you know, who are with me. I thought that this different atmosphere with all different kinds of pujas and all this again, everything, you know, going and all these things, if it is affecting their consciousness, then why should we continue in the name of being, you know, being gentlemanly to them? And then he told, you ask every other devotee how they felt. And those devotees said, Prabhuji, we were practically going crazy. We had gone crazy only. Because it was that mantra, Chandi, Chamundi, Bhadrakali, and some tantric was putting all these things he was doing. Yes, it was like, you know, making us mad. You know? Like, you know, hours and hours, it, practically 2-3 hours it was going on. They said, we didn't know what to do, you know. Because we didn't know whether to leave or to stay there because this devotee took us. You know? So, and then I caught this congregation devotee and asked him, why did you do this? Why did you take devotee such a place? So he said, in his family, all of them are followers of the Chandi, Chamundi, Bhadrakali and all that. And he is trying to make them into Hare Krishna devotees. So he wanted to prove to them that we are also cooperating with them, you know, so that they will become Hare Krishna devotees. Then I asked him, have you made them chant Hare Krishna even once? Prabhuji, that I will introduce after 2-3 years, you know, he is saying. So he is going to introduce chanting Hare Krishna how long? After 2-3 years, and for that he wants us to extend so much. I said, forget it. So we have to know when to, you know. So loyalty to one's sampradaya, one's guru, the acharyas, is very, very important. So we will stop here with this. Another aspect which I will talk later is some little bit of it I spoke today, trust in confidentiality in relationship. Next meeting when we meet, I would like to talk a little bit about guru and disciple and vapu and vani, which is very important for all of us. Because we are in Pune, many of them, who all have come from Bombay here, Mataji, raise your hands. Who all have come from Bombay? 1, 2, 3 of you, is it? Even Shankar Panditpur's wife also, no? From Bombay. Mataji, is there, no? Yeah, she is from Bombay also, no? Yeah. Jagavalpur's wife. And also Nasik Mataji also. You come from Nasik Mataji, Mukundanpur's wife. Yeah. So, you all have come from, you know, other places, especially those of you who have been in Chaupati and associating with Maharaj closely, you know, hearing classes from him directly. When you come to Pune, you know, then you may only occasionally get to see him face to face, you know. You may only, you know, and also, generally, you know, service to Guru is not available for everyone directly. Even in Prabhupada's times, you know, only few people could serve the spiritual master very closely. Most of them actually were serving from a distance. So, because Guru cannot give attention to thousands of disciples, you know. That's why the counseling system is made. So it would be very valuable for us to learn about Vapu and Vani, personal service to Guru, and how to serve the Vani of the Guru. So that we can be very, very Krishna conscious. Oh, I've gone too late. What time we started? 6:30 we started?
6:45.
6:45 started? 7:45, 8:45. 2 hours you said? Eh? Okay, I've gone a little bit ahead, I think. Yeah. There is prasadam for all of you. Anybody had a question? One question, anybody wanted to? Not any question, you can say also. Okay, what I would like to do now is give the mic to all of you. Each of you say one or two sentences, something. What comes to your mind? Huh? You have a question? Yeah.
We planned something to speak to me in class. When we speak and then we feel that after reading we feel empty.
I should not have spoken all this.
We feel empty.
Empty, yeah.
We feel that if this is what I have to do, you gave it and I feel empty.
Yeah.
And do you mean to say that it's whatever we speak only when we the spoken spontaneous
No, it can be prepared also.
Masala, it is you feel that emptiness.
Yeah, actually why you feel that emptiness? Sometimes you are not very confident of what you are giving them. See, either if you tell lies, you will feel very bad afterwards. You know. Sometimes we tell something about ourselves which is not true. You will feel very bad about it, number one. Number two, if you are telling them some masala which is not strictly Krishna conscious, and later on you feel very bad, and why did I speak this? Sometimes we speak things which are not purely Krishna conscious. Sometimes when you speak them, later on you don't feel so well that why did I speak this, you feel. So that creates emptiness in the heart. Yeah. It creates insecurity in the heart. But if you speak purely, that gives you inner strength also. It boosts up your inner strength. If you speak the truth, and if you speak it purely without adulterating it, then you feel very nice. Yeah. So, any of you, it's not a compulsion for you, but I will send the mic across to you. You can say something. You see, there are two ways we can conduct this meeting. One is the way we conducted today, you know. That, you know, I involved a little bit of discussion, asking questions to you.